What questions would you ask AOPA boss Mark Baker? The Cygnus rendezvous with the ISS is delayed. And are further FAA furloughs looming? This is Aero News for Tuesday, September 24th, 2013. I'm Glenn Moyer. We all know that AOPA has a new top gun in the form of Mark Baker. But what do you know about him and his plans for AOPA and its membership? More importantly, what would you like to know? ANN's editor-in-chief Jim Campbell has been granted an interview with Baker, and while he has ideas of his own for topics of discussion, he'd like to hear from you just what's on your mind. If you could sit down with the new AOPA boss one-on-one, what would you ask him? What concerns would you want him to address? You can let Jim know by dropping him an email to jim@aero-news.net. But don't dally. The interview takes place in a day or two, so let us know what questions you would ask AOPA's Mark Baker. Managers from Orbital Sciences and NASA decided Monday morning to postpone the approach, rendezvous, grapple, and berthing operations of Orbital's Cygnus cargo logistics spacecraft with the International Space Station to no earlier than Saturday, September 28th. Cygnus's rendezvous now will follow the launch and arrival of three crew members of Expedition 3738 on Wednesday, September 25th. Orbital has confirmed that they have developed and tested a software fix for the data format mismatch that necessitated a postponement of the first rendezvous operation that was scheduled to have taken place this past Sunday morning. However, that process, together with the impending Soyuz crew operations, resulted in a very tight schedule to the point that both Orbital and NASA felt it was the right decision to postpone the Cygnus approach and rendezvous until after the Soyuz operations. Once again, the specter of FAA furloughs has appeared as lawmakers tell agencies to trim their budgets for 2014. For the FAA, that means that some $700 million needs to be cut from the budget, and agency officials say that would mean sending workers home without pay. If that scenario plays out, the FAA says that flight delays, similar to those that occurred as the sequester took hold in April, are likely. The FAA was later allowed to shift money from another account to pay controllers and keep the airlines on schedule. But this new round of sequestration may have more impact, according to a report from Bloomberg. Both FAA Administrator Michael Huerta and Transportation Secretary Anthony Fox have said in briefings that the agency has already cut unessential travel and training, according to sources who attended private meetings and requested anonymity. The FAA is reportedly again considering eliminating contract towers as a way of saving money. And FAA officials say they would have to furlough some employees, even if a continuing resolution introduced September 10th in the House passes. That measure would maintain current funding levels through December 15th. Victoria Day, spokeswoman for A4A, said that the airline trade group believes that neither Congress or the Obama administration will allow the airline industry to suffer the effects of sequestration as it did in April. Other services, which affect private pilots, such as weather briefings, are also potentially on the budget chopping block. French police seized over 1.3 metric tons of cocaine from an Air France flight that landed in Paris on September 11th. The flight had originated in Caracas, Venezuela. The drugs were packed in 30 suitcases in the cargo hold of the plane, according to a report from the BBC. Details of the operation were released on Saturday. It was the largest amount of illegal drugs ever seized in Paris. The suitcases did not appear to have any connection to any of the passengers on board the plane, according to French authorities. The seizure led to six arrests on charges of participating in an international drug ring. If sold on the street, officials said the drugs would have had a value of about $270 million. When Aero News continues, read all about it. A new book details the B-2 story. NASA seeks technology fellowship applicants. And any landing you can swim away from?
Diamond Aircraft's D-Jet is the ultimate private aircraft for the owner-flown market, offering simplicity of operation, safety, and affordability. Imagine starting the turbine with a simple push of a button. Push the single-lever throttle forward. Monitor your flight on the cutting-edge G1000 with integrated autopilot and enjoy the reliability, performance, smoothness, and quiet of turbine power. Visit Diamond on the web at www.diamondair.com or call 888-359-3220.
Aero News continues now for Tuesday, September 24th. I'm Glenn Moyer. A new book focusing on the people and innovation that helped create the U.S. Air Force's B-2 stealth bomber, one of the most powerful and survivable aircraft ever produced, was introduced Tuesday by Northrop Grumman at the Air Force Association's 2013 Air and Space Conference at National Harbor, Maryland. B-2, The Spirit of Innovation, is based on interviews with former Northrop Grumman, Air Force, and Pentagon officials. It explores the political and engineering passions that fueled the competition to produce a bomber that could defeat increasingly sophisticated Soviet air defense systems of the early 1980s. The book was written by political analyst Rebecca Grant, president of the IRIS Independent Research, and the author of several books about bomber warfare. Northrop Grumman, the Air Force's B-2 prime contractor, published the book as part of Air Force Global Strike Command's celebration of 2013 as the Year of the B-2. NASA is seeking applications from U.S. graduate students for the agency's Space Technology Research Fellowships. The research grants, worth as much as $68,000 per year, will coincide with the start of the 2014 fall term. Applications will be accepted from students pursuing or planning to pursue master's or doctorate degrees in relevant space technology disciplines at accredited U.S. universities. The grants will sponsor U.S. graduate student researchers who show significant potential to contribute to NASA's strategic space technology objectives through their studies. To date, NASA has awarded grants to 193 student researchers from 68 universities located in 33 states and one U.S. territory. The deadline for submitting applications, it's November the 13th. A woman from Cornelius, North Carolina, says that a plane that was recently located by sonar at the bottom of Lake Norman, just north of Charlotte in North Carolina, may be one that sunk 30 years ago. And she thinks so because the plane may have belonged to her. The plane appeared on sonar images while local authorities were attempting to locate a drowning victim in the lake. Divers went down to check the plane, which is lying in about 90 feet of water. They were unable to open the doors on the plane, but noted there were no human remains in the cockpit. That, according to a report from WSOC-TV. Barbara Anderson of Cornelius says that's because if the plane is hers, the people who were on board got out before it sank. She said some 30 years ago, the plane was being used for instruction when it landed on the water with the gear extended. She told the station, quote, "They landed, forgot to put the gear up to lock it, and the plane sunk," end quote. There have been other reports of planes sinking in the lake, but Anderson says she hopes that it is hers. The FAA is investigating, and there's no word on whether the aircraft will be salvaged or left to sit on the bottom of Lake Norman. Well, you know what they say. Any landing you can walk, swim away from. I'm Glenn Moyer. Thanks for listening. You're now cleared for departure.